Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
The specialists are back, and we are recapping episode number 2 of The Amazing Race, season 36. I just watched this one today, actually. I didn't actually watch it last night. So it's nice to be able to watch this after Survivor and the day after Survivor and really take my time to enjoy it. Because I will say, when you're casually viewing The Amazing Race, as I am, it is quite pleasant. I feel like with Survivor, it's so negative a lot of the time. And somebody in our Digging Deeper episode that we posted today was like, you're part of the complaining. It's like, but you're complaining on my podcast about complaining. So who's complaining now? But it's like The Amazing Race, I feel like you really have to nitpick to not enjoy it, because I just sat there and was like, this was a nice hour of TV, Paramount Plus. Didn't have commercials.
Yeah, exactly.
Sat there, watched people run through for an hour, and I enjoyed it. So I'm excited to talk about this. I'm excited that we're doing this again. I just think it's fun. And yeah, that's all I got. What do you got?
Yeah, I felt like it was an average episode of the race, like nothing to write home about. But in my book, just like Survivor, like any TV is good TV, I feel like, with shows that I love. So I did enjoy watching it, but I'm really feeling the we didn't shoot this for 90 minutes. And I just don't think The Amazing Race needs 90 minutes.
Yeah, which has pretty much been what people have said, right? They just feel like they don't need to have it for that long. And that's, I think that's fair. I feel like that's fair, that it is long, and maybe you do feel that, but I think it's helping me right now that I'm not trying to, when I podcasted this, the couple times I did, it was always when Survivor wasn't on, or when it was on a different night than Survivor. So we'd be trying to push this in. I know we did it when Brett and Chris were on, and the other survivors as well, but Brett and Chris were our main draw because we'd had them on the podcast before. I feel like I'm trying to push it in. I feel like, oh my God, I got to watch The Amazing Race tonight. I can't do something else. Whereas this morning I woke up, I did work. And then after I was done doing a bunch of work, I was like, all right, I'm going to watch The Amazing Race. And I just sat down and watched The Amazing Race for an hour. And it was nice. And so I don't feel like I'm feeling the length, because I don't feel like I'm being inconvenienced by The Amazing Race, which is a nice feeling, a nice feeling. So yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk about this episode because, you know, there was some sprinklings of strategy in it, I think. But we get hit pretty much with a detour as the first thing. For some people, other people, they tried to do the roadblock first, but
Why did that happen? How is that even possible? I feel like I've never seen that before. Is that something that happens a lot on the show, or is that weird?
sometimes they miss a clue box, or they head to the pit stop before doing something else, and they're like, "All right, great, we're at the pit stop." So, I think they just missed it. They followed like the sign, the balloon. I don't know what they followed or whatever, but yeah, they got to the roadblock and were like, "All right, we're doing the roadblock." That's off probably the first thing, and it was not.
So now, what happens if they do the roadblock and finish the roadblock, and then go back and do the detour? Is that okay? Is that kosher? Or do they have to do the roadblock?
Yeah, my guess is they probably have to redo the roadblock because they didn't do it in order.
Okay, I might have to message James from The Amazing Race and see what he has to say. Because part of me thinks like you would have to do the roadblock, then you realize you did it wrong, then go back to the detour, then do the roadblock. You're gonna lose every time if that's the case. So I don't know if it's just a matter of doing everything, but I guess because they're doing these shorter legs or more condensed legs, I guess they're not shorter because this was a mega leg, but I guess because they're doing these more condensed legs, you have a little bit easier of a time to just trip up and do the wrong thing when you shouldn't do it.
Yeah, exactly. I felt like these detours were so different, and one was extremely easier than the other one.
So the balloons were so easy.
Yeah.
There was no complexity to that at all. I was waiting for the trick, and the trick seemed to be, oh, each of you have to carry a bunch of balloons, but it seemed like this was straightforward. It wasn't over that large of a period or like a space. So I don't know if this was just done because they knew they needed to get a leg in here, and it was going to be a mega leg, so they were okay with having them do this. It was very simple. I always feel like with any Amazing Race detour or roadblock or anything, there's always something a little unique about it that could throw you off, and this did not have that.
No, it was so simple. And it's also, in theory, the color correction where they had to search through a bunch of flags was simple, but everybody was taking it so like in depth. Is the writing different? Are the cutouts different? They're looking so like fine detail when it's basically just find a strand that the colors are different. So
yeah, and so did you feel like that one was a lot harder then?
Yeah, because I mean it held up so many teams, and so many teams switched out from that to do the balloons. The balloons, it's just go to all the colors, grab them and come back. Where this one, there's so many flags in there, and it seemed like the strands were double layered too. So it's not just like one going across, it's two going across back to back. So there were so many flags in that area.
Yeah, and the wind was really whipping, which I feel like made that even more difficult to figure out because the wind was blowing all of that stuff so hard that the flags were moving in so many different directions that that had to make it a little bit more difficult because some of the flags were touching each other from different strands.
Yeah, exactly. So it was Derek and Shalissa. They were looking for the initial clue box for the detour when they ran up on Ricky and Cesar, and they were like, "All right, like let's maybe get some help here. Where's the clue box?" And they just like shut them down completely. What are your thoughts on like other teams helping people out?
I don't think I like Ricky and Cesar. I don't think I do. I don't think I do. And like, again, this isn't a hatred. It's just, I don't think I like them. I think they're playing too hard, too fast. I think they're too worried about winning leg two and not worrying about the long run of this game, where they should have just told them, "Hey, this is where this is where your box is," because ultimately if you finish second in leg two, who cares? I get you want to win whatever trip and all of that, even though Rod did not look thrilled when he was told he was going to Portugal for 5 nights. He looked more confused than anything. But I just feel like, why are you playing so hard so early? That was what surprised me.
Well, this is the exact topic Celestina and I discuss over on the Patreon. We are, I see, I'm pretty good. We are talking
about, I'm impressed. Well done.
Other teams helping other teams. So become a $5, $10, or $20 patron. We'd prefer you to become a $20 patron, but this podcast is available for all tiers.
Yes. Okay. There you go. There you go. So now I don't even know what they talked about. I just say, go ahead, put it out, and hopefully it's not offensive. So it's good to know that it's not. Yeah. I feel like you should help at this point. I also feel like they had enough of a lead.
Exactly.
That what is the concern? I don't feel like there was actually something to be scared of in this moment that, oh no, big bad Derek and Shalisa are going to beat us at this. It didn't feel like there was a reason to be worried. So for me, it was like, why be worried if there's no reason to be worried? Help them out because that's going to curry favor. Now those people are going to say, I don't like them. And now very passively under their breath, every time that that other tribe does something, they're going to go, oh, I'm so tired of them. I call them a tribe, but that other tribe, they're going to be like, I hate this. They're pissing me off. I mean, that's just what happened.
Yeah, exactly. And especially what's 5 minutes in between second and third place? This was such a big leg, people left within minutes of each other. The last place team was complaining that they were in last, but they were 2 minutes behind the third to last team.
The only thing that seemed like a gap, it seemed like there was an hour gap between like third and fourth or fourth and fifth. It seemed like there was a gap where the first place team went off at 12:05. Mm-hmm. And I think it was
10 was the next one.
Fifth place or something was like 1:10.
Yeah.
I think that was the dancers or the acrobats, whatever the aerobic instructors. I'm going to get it right eventually.
Jump rope people.
Yeah. The jump ropers. I feel like they probably, you know, they did whatever. I feel like that was where there was a big cutoff. So that was the other thing that I think made this really stupid was why not just help them? Because you're not in danger of going home. Not going to go home. And I understand that on The Amazing Race, one wrong turn could lead you down a path where you're just screwed. But like, you got to feel competent and confident in yourself. And now if they turn and say, oh, Derek and Shalisa, where is this? They're going to say,
I don't know.
They're not going to answer you. They're not going to say anything. They're just going to ignore you as a person, which is not what you want this early in the race.
Yeah. Like, just make friends. Like, don't be so cutthroat.
Yeah.
The difference really doesn't mean anything when you are in first through fifth with this many teams still left in the game. Like, it's not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Especially if you have one team ahead of you, like you have a team that's probably going to win the trip, the money, the whatever have you at the pit stop. So like, you're not even playing for that.
Yeah. 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 I don't know. I felt like it was short-sighted. Do we think that this type of aggressive gameplay will bite Cesar? Is it Ricky? What was it?
Ricky, yeah.
Yeah, Cesar and Ricky. Do you think it'll bite them sooner than later? Or do you think that this is a team that's going to be like the villains, air quotes, of this season?
I think they're going to be toward the top. But then once the weaker teams start getting weeded out, that's when they could probably use Derek and Shalisa for information about where to go and not hit that like sixth and out place.
Yeah. I agree with that because I feel like Chris and Mary going home was the least shocking thing to happen to me.
Literally, Manu. Like, I was like, these episodes of TV
back to back for CBS, the two most predictable episodes you could have.
I know. Like, they tried, but it didn't work.
And so let me ask you, why do you think that this team was cast in the first place? They were never going to win.
No, but I think also with The Amazing Race, it is a little bit of the story and the bond between the partners where Survivor is now kind of gearing toward that. They want those stories to integrate within to the episodes. But I think The Amazing Race was always about the bonds and the strength within the teams rather than, you know, they're going to win the race.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that's totally fair. And it wasn't a unique situation where they're talking about, you know, how they like their living situation and with mom. And I feel like, oh my God, man, I'm going to butcher the names. Is it Danny and Angie?
Maybe.
Mom and
the mother son. Yes. Danny and Angie.
Wow. Which is like Danny Ainge, who played for the Celtics. Anyway, Danny and Angie, I feel like that's the kind of duo where they could win and you're going to get the story. I mean, it was a pretty emotional story. I liked how happy they were when they found out what place they were in. They couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And that was really nice and really fun. And I remember from the days when I used to watch this show, Connor and Dad, what was Dad's name?
Oh, I don't remember. Yeah, but
that was the best team ever. I mean, I just loved that team.
I was devastated when the dad broke the foot and they couldn't.
It was Achilles, right?
Yeah, towards Achilles, and they couldn't continue on the race. Ugh.
Yeah, that brutal. And then they come back for whatever it was and they dominate. So I like that to me is what the Amazing Race is all about. And you know, this is something where Will wouldn't do this podcast with me. I remember him and being like, should we do the Amazing Race? Like, I'm not doing the Amazing Race. There's nothing to talk about because Will likes to be negative. Will does like to, you know, focus on what's the gameplay, what's the strategy, what is this? He can't just sit back and watch something and be fine with that. So
you have a Will, I have a John.
Yeah, exactly. It's just funny with Will too, though, because then he's like, we should do some scripted TV. And it's like, you realize there's no strategy there, right? Like, you just sit back and watch it and enjoy it. And if you're going to sit here and you're going to nitpick something every single week, I don't want to talk about that. But that, with that being said, I do feel like with the Amazing Race, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with like those kinds of things. And I'm okay more with the storyline and just like the overcoming obstacles and look at us, we're so great, and the feel goodness of it, because it's a competition show, but it's a competition show unlike any other competition show.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you have a built-in trust system where like you kind of get that in Blood versus Water, but it's different because everyone's playing their own game, even though you still have a loved one in it, where this, they are tied together and they are, you know, running the race as a duo. And that is unique in reality TV. Like, the challenge, you might be on a team, but you still have your own games. So this, their games are each other's games. There's no ulterior motives within the race.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, you watch Survivor, if a tribe loses, they lose. And then you have to vote somebody out. So you can say, we're team, we're family, but you're not. You're trying to get yourself to the end of the game. So, yeah. Anyway, all that is just to say, like, I'm okay with this. It doesn't bother me with Mary and Chris. I just feel like they were over their heads. Mm-hmm. And I do think the one thing that really dates this season and shows that it was filmed a long time ago is that the two of them do wear masks on and off, but nobody else is wearing masks. And you could say, oh, well, that's just their choice. That's what they're doing. But you can see that by the way that they're kind of like up, down, that it was during that time of like
risky, like some people were wearing them.
Yeah. And you could see that they were in that, where Amazing Race wasn't mandating it, but they felt like, we don't want to risk our chance here. And so that being out, you know, I'm not saying like, oh, thank God the mask people are gone. I'm saying it just kind of was something that was dating it a little bit, because it's one thing to get on a plane and be saying, we're going to wear a mask on the plane. But when you're watching them run around the city, it was like, nobody else is, what's going on
here? Also, it's a wide open space.
Yeah, it was kind of like, what is going on here? So I'm sure too. I mean, I could tell Chris probably wasn't. Chris is a little bit older and Chris is like struggling. He's, you know, hoofing it.
So I mean, he almost vomited.
No taking no chances there. So we talked about the detour. The balloon thing is definitely the right move. What about this roadblock? Because this one was interesting, where Derek couldn't stop sweating.
Oh my God. But they still gave the pass
on that. So how does this work?
I think it's as long as you have the things where they're supposed to be. Like, you can't control the guy's sweat. But I think as long as they know, like, the yellow cheek, the dots on the little swirl, the yellow teeth, like, as long as all of those things are correct, but he just has, like, a sweat drip down, I think I would pass that, because they're running around this devilishly hot city trying and then throw face paint on them. Like, this is rather impossible.
Yeah, you have to give people the benefit of the doubt, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing else that he could do. And that's where I guess the Amazing Race judges have become less sticklery. Because I remember back in the day, they would be somewhat like of sticklers, and you, whichever judge you got could ultimately like hurt or help you, which you know, you don't see anymore. At least I haven't seen now.
I think it probably just depends on which specific, like, anything inside will most like, or like not having to deal with face paint will probably have to, will have a more like rigid, you're missing this, it's like slightly turned wrong or whatever it is.
Where was it? Do you think Rod and Letitia are going to be the ones to beat the entire season, or is this just for now?
I'm pretty confident in them, because one interesting strategy that they had was the rock, paper, scissors. When they couldn't decide, they just were like, all right, you believe in one, I believe in the other. Instead of arguing about it, let's just rock, paper, scissors and go. Like, I think coming in with strategies like that and they're themselves being in sync with each other, I think they could make a really deep run, but maybe like one leg hits them out of nowhere.
Yeah, I could see that. You get one weak leg and it's mm-hmm. over for them. But for the most part, they're dominating. I mean, that's the scary part about the Amazing Race, right? You could dominate every single mm-hmm. leg and then you just have one bad one and you're out, especially when there's no non-elimination legs, which yeah. I think is a positive for the show. I feel like the Amazing Race is the point is you watch them run and then they lose. But yeah, I do feel like they are light years ahead of everybody else. I feel like they got mm-hmm. kind of the full package going for them.
Yep.
Whereas like Derek and Shalissa might be a little bit of a disadvantage because they're 57 and 55. So they're just a little bit older. Angie mm-hmm. and Danny, it is very much the mother-son relationship. Look at us go. We've already seen Amber and Vinny, the dating nurses, have like a hiccup here and there.
Yeah.
Ricky and Cesar, I don't know if it's going to last.
Yeah, I think they'll be good for a little bit, but once these weaker teams get, you know, weeded out, that they'll be in trouble. I think if Juan and Shane mm-hmm. Can get a little bit more traction with each other, that I think they could also do a very, very good job. But I'm really here for Anthony and Bailey.
Anthony and Bailey are hilarious, but man, are they not meant for the Amazing Race. They are not going to be good at this game at all.
That whole butterfly sequence where they're just running around in the wings in the face paint, and he's just like, I can't go up to people. You have to be the one to do it. Yeah, they're just like top tier, just here for the vibes.
They are the dude bro of dude broness. They are, they just love being dude bros and that's their thing. And look, I'm here for it. I agree with you. They are super entertaining, but man, are they not meant for the Amazing Race.
Yeah, I think they're just going to bumble along until they can't anymore because they're not bad, but they're not good.
Yep. I agree. And I think that's like when I'm talking about Rod and Leticia, they have so much going for them, whereas Anthony and Bailey don't necessarily have the brain to go along with the physical.
Yeah.
And then you're seeing other people who don't necessarily have the physical to along with the brains. Because mm-hmm. Shori and Karishma are an interesting one, because I don't feel like they've really done anything wrong, but going to the wrong part of the challenge first or of the mm-hmm. leg first does worry me a little bit, but they weren't the only ones to do it. I feel like, where are they? Michelle and Sean, they were the mm-hmm. other ones who also went to the wrong place first. They, I don't have much faith in. No. I feel like they're just a accident waiting to happen.
I feel like Amber and Vinny should be doing better, but aren't. So I'm interested to see how they progress throughout the race, because they are toward that back half, but I just feel like they should be doing better. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just a gut like reaction for both of them.
And then what was it? Sunny and Busy were the ones who did actually accomplish the detour. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was the flags, and they were wrong mm-hmm. at first, and then they figured it out, and it seemed like they had a good strategy of, no, if this color is not next to this color, this isn't good. But
all the pink ones could be correct, like all the pink, blue, and green, whatever it was, could be correct, and it's like the purple and the other one are switched, so
had to find the right color that was wrong,
right? So I was like, oh yeah, genius strategy. But I was watching it with my fiance and she was just like, no, but like this, and I'm like, oh, right. Because then you have to check all of the colors. So you have to still go strand by strand, which is a lot.
Because if you find the right wrong one, then well done.
Yeah.
But if you don't find the right wrong color and you say, we'll try this color first, this color, you're just going to keep going. And then eventually mm-hmm. you're just going to get to the point where you're like, oh my God, we've gone through this 15 times now. What is happening?
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, the only team we haven't talked about yet is the team that you were like standing, or you said you were going to, which is Vaughn and Melissa. They were really kind of small in this episode. They did have like the confessionals about, you know, I guess the start of their relationship. I don't even remember what they talked about. I just remember it was a long confessional. But they finished fifth. They moved up one mm-hmm. spot from sixth to fifth.
Yeah, like it's interesting with how they're breaking out the race, just in an editing perspective. Like some people that are more the middle of the pack are kind of going unnoticed and we don't know much about them and aren't getting like a lot from them. Mm-hmm. I think really they're the standout of this episode, and it's just they're letting us know people in chunks. So like the first group of three we really got like some info on, and then Juan and Sean with Kishori Kirishima and the jump ropers, like, because they had that whole debacle at the roadblock, mm-hmm. but they kind of just ran the race, and like, that's it. There was no conflict with their race.
And now, do we know where they're going next? I didn't on watching on Paramount Plus, they didn't
Colombia.
They're going to Colombia. Okay.
I think it's still in South America.
Okay. Okay, mm-hmm. So they're going to call. Well, actually, McKenna, Mexico's not in South America. Come on.
Central America, my bad.
Yeah, they're in North America, and then we're going down. You know, come on, North America. Well, I don't know where Central America. I think that one belongs to North America in terms of continents. But
all right, whatever. I'm not great with geography. I'm just saying. I went to art school, so. Hey,
so did I. Okay, don't do this to me. All right, let's briefly jump around to two more things, and then we can wrap this thing up. If you're listening still, please give this video a like. Subscribe to the channel if you're not subscribed. Look how positive I'm being about The Amazing Race, because you know what? It really is something that you don't need to argue about. You can just sit there and watch it. I'm sure somebody will get screwed at some point, and then I'll be mad about something. But right now, I'm just kind of enjoying the ride. Let's talk about these two things right now. So Anthony and Bailey finished eighth for the second time in a row. Sonny and Busy finished ninth for the second time in a row. Kishori and Kirishima finished 10th for the second time in a row.
Interesting.
Are we feeling like, which team do you have the most faith in getting out of the bottom of this pack?
Sonny and Busy. I think they need to start. They need to pick the right things to do, and then they're
being conservative in the wrong ways.
Yeah, I think they needed to do the balloons, and if they did the balloons, front of the pack.
Yep. Okay. I like that. Biggest risers were Amber and Vinny. They went from 12th to 7th.
Right.
How do you feel about them? Do you feel like they're going to continue to rise, or do you feel like this is a team that just started off so bad and 7th is kind of where they belong?
Well, they also did get some help from Danny and Angie this episode on where things are. So if they continue to get help, or you know, have a buddy in Danny and Angie, they both might be able to stay right around that middle of the pack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Next, last one. Biggest droppers were Michelle and Sean. They went from 5th to 11th. Are they the next team out?
I don't know if they're the next team out, but they're within. They won't raise higher. That much higher, I don't think. I think they aren't long for the world here.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like if I'm looking at this, I'm saying, who are the next three teams out? Michelle and Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I think Angie and Danny will kind of fall off. I feel mm-hmm. like they're just going to have one really bad leg that's going to knock them out. And I think Kishori and Kirishima. I think those are my next three teams out. And then I think Anthony and Bailey are also down there. I feel like the teams at the top right now, Rod and Leticia, Ricky and Cesar, Derek and Shalisa, Juan and Shane, Yvonne and Melissa. I could see that just being the final five.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. I think they're going to rocket up top for a while.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm excited. Okay. I'm enjoying this. I'm actually enjoying a lot that the podcast, that this channel is becoming more than just Survivor. I am enjoying mm-hmm. talking about all of this stuff. I know we're not getting the views and things like that on these other shows yet, but I'm hopeful that in the future we will be able to pull some views on some of these episodes. Cause like Deal or No Deal Island is a really entertaining show.
Yeah.
And it's worth a watch. If you haven't watched Deal or No Deal Island, check that out. Will and I did The Traitors. Will and I did
The Trust.
And we complained a lot about The Trust and The Traitors. The Traitors just has so many flaws at the bottom. So yeah, that's really that on that front. John and I have been doing movie brackets. Those have been a lot of fun. And then the Phil and Will Show finally came back and we did March Madness predictions. So
look at that.
It's fun that the channel is becoming more than just Survivor, Survivor, Survivor. Mm-hmm. Blake and I did Digging Deeper into episode 4 with Lost Votes Equals Lost Drama. And so far that doesn't have many views, probably because people are just tired of hearing me complain, but I don't know. I think it's a fun series. I think it's fun to like talk about the one thing that the community is focusing on. So
I mean,
I'm just
heck,
saying,
I ripped it off from you for The Amazing Race. So
you did.
I thought that was a great idea.
You did. I'm just excited that we're like actually expanding and that the expansion mm-hmm. makes sense. And I think it's been a lot of fun. So that's all I got. That's it. I'm done. McKenna, you have anything else you want to say?
Tune in tomorrow for John and I doing Survivor Rewind, and we'll also have our Rewind episode up on the Patreon as well tomorrow. Big Rewind Day, Survivor History.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. You have to make sure I get that out and scheduled for tomorrow morning for our patrons over there on Patreon, because our Q&A comes out tomorrow too. So yeah, just a lot of fun stuff going on over here on the Specialist channel. And I hope you're enjoying it. And even when I get snippy back with you on some of your comments, I appreciate the comments. I'm just going to comment what I actually think, right? I'm going to talk like I actually think. I'm going to do all this stuff the way I actually think. Because at the end of the day, that's kind of like what the point of doing this podcast is. If I wasn't giving my actual thoughts, people weren't going to care. So yeah, that's really it. That's all I got. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. Let us know what you're thinking about The Amazing Race 36 thus far. If you're enjoying the first two episodes, make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel. And McKenna and Celestine are going to be doing Patreon podcast on Saturday.
Yes.
About The Amazing Race. A little extra content for The Amazing Race. So you can check that out as well. Thank you all so much for listening. Appreciate it. And we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.